Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 8th day of July 2014. I'm Tom Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Stephen Platt will be here from Archer Financial Services to help us take a look at the agricultural energy markets. We'll discuss next year's crop budgets with ag economist and farm management specialist at the University of Illinois, Gary Schnitke. They'll be much like this year, so you'll want to pay attention to that one. And along the way, we'll hear an update from Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana in terms of crop conditions. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. July soft red winter wheat, $5.45 and a quarter, up a quarter. The September down a half at $5.56 and a quarter. The hard red July at $6.75, a settlement price there. For the harvest month, 3.5 cents lower. From the corn pit, July futures down a penny at $4.08 and a quarter. September at $3.98 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter. And December corn, the harvest month, 2 cents lower. March futures at $4.15 and three quarters, down 2. And the May at $4.23 and three quarters, down a penny and three quarters. July of next year, down a 2 and a quarter cents at $4.30 and a quarter. July soybeans, $13.29 and three quarters. They finished 33 and a quarter cents lower. The August at $12.48 and a half, down 24 and three quarters. September beans, $11.40 and three quarters, down 9 and a half cents. In November, $11.16 and a quarter, 9 and a quarter cents lower. January futures, 9.5 lower at $11.25, and July of next year at $11.48 in the bean pit, down 10 cents for the day. Bean meal down 6.40 at $4.37.30, and the bean oil 56 cents lower at $37.80. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished like this. The nearby August at $153.52.5, $1.42.5 lower. October down 70 cents at $155.97.5. August feeders at $215.90, down $2.10. September at $217.47.5, finished $1.75 lower. And the lean hogs today in the July contract for 100 pounds, $132.20, finished 40 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, $103.46 a barrel, down 7 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.97 and a tenth. That's a penny and 8 tenths lower. And ethanol futures at $2.13 and 7 tenths, up 3 and 7 tenths. The spread between the two is 83 and 4 tenths of a cent wide. That's a nickel and a half narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.21 and 8 cents, 7 tenths of a cent lower, and diesel fuel on the day at $2.87 and 3 tenths, down 4 cents. Gold futures at $1,316.50 an ounce, finished 50 cents lower, and the dollar trading down 0.04 at 80.17. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. On our way to 79 degrees, but we're 81 outside already under really mostly sunny skies. Actually, the high is supposed to be 82, so we have a degree yet to go. And then tonight, patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy. The low of 62 degrees, west-northwest winds at about 16 to 13 miles, or rather 6 to 13 miles an hour, gusting to 20. And then tomorrow, sunny skies and 78 degrees on a west-northwest wind at 6 to 10. Wednesday night, mostly clear and a low of 58. Northwest winds at 5 to 7. Thursday, sunny skies and 80 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear and 59. Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and 81. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 67. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms with a high of 86, partly cloudy on Saturday night and 69 degrees. And on Sunday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, otherwise a high near 85. Showers continue into the evening Sunday night with a 67-degree low. And on Monday of next week, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high near 82. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Boy, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start with yesterday's disaster in the corn pit. What happened?
Well, I think just we've always said that the weather is after the 4th of July weekend and what it looks like for pollination and everything along the way generally sets the tone for July. And as we come back yesterday, let's face it, the weather looks ideal for corn pollination. You know, no hot, steamy, no hot weather coming in. Showers forecast for it was. And good weather trumped the oversold condition in the technical market is what happened, and we just saw people continue to sell. And I think that we're seeing that farmers have not marketed a lot of their crop as we look at the commercials position, very light net short for this time of year for what they should be had they bought a lot of farmers' anticipated production.
So I know that you do take a look at the technicals, and the big problem here is that in both the lead option and the December contracts, on the daily and the weekly charts, we now have a gap lower, and that will be difficult.
That will make it extremely difficult, especially as long as the weather stays the way it's acting here. You know, we got 0.8 of an inch overnight, and this morning over here, east of town over here, they said they only got 0.3, and they needed that 0.3, but they've been getting just-in-time rains, and, you know, the corn just looks wonderful, and it's tasseling all over, and, you know, just really looking. We heard some reports of an individual over in central Illinois that went out, did the population, and tried to estimate its yield, and it was in excess of 300 bushel.
Yeah. Have you been out to look? I was, you know, if you go out and you slow down, boy, population looks really thick.
The population is tremendous this year. It seemed like every kernel grew, had plenty of moisture, and there are good big stocks there. You know, we had a lot of area that got knocked down with the wind and that a week ago, and as we go back now, it's elbowed there, but it's coming back and coming straightening up, and looks like it's going to still make an awfully good year with, you know, hopefully we don't run into some problems later that knocks it to the ground, but there, even in the bad areas, it's looking good.
We'll hear more about conditions from the statisticians a bit later in the program. What did you think of those numbers yesterday afternoon?
You know, not surprising at all as you drive around and look at the crops. They're just great. Everybody you talk to that's driven here, driven there, they're saying stuff looks really good. I mean, I think there's some areas of Iowa that are rough. I think there's some areas of southern Minnesota that are rough. There's some areas in Ohio and southeast of Indianapolis that are a little rough. But there are so many places that look 20% better than usual. It's not funny, Todd.
Yeah, so we have December corn at 404 and a quarter settlement price. It went down to 402 and three quarters, and on the weekly charts, I think that's the right price. What would we go down to on the weeklies for the December? Oh, I've got the July up. On the December for the weekly chart, at this point, at least, our low is 402 and three quarters. How much further down do you think we will go? $4, I know, will be a place that people think about, but how much further down can we go?
Well, that's a real good question, what we're trying to figure out here. But $4, if it does not hold, $3.90 to $3.85, you know, is pretty much in the cards very quick as far as the technical picture looks. You know, from there on down, $3.75 is our next point to stop. But an awful lot of people keep throwing $3.50 around. I don't like to use that number, but it is being thrown around a lot in the heat of battle, but I don't think we'll stay down there.
Why is it that old crop soybeans failed in both the July and August today?
Well, rumors of Chinese cancellations out of Brazil, number one. We're seeing that now when we look at things, we had an awful lot of traders long the old and short the new. And basically, once the government sort of said there's enough stocks to get through, you know, we had a terribly wide. I mean, even if you look at it now, July at 1327, August at 1248, and new crop at 1256. You know, there's an awfully wide spread between them, and if we've got enough beans to get there, there doesn't need to be that kind of premium.
And we have the same problem in the November beans that we have in the corn futures, which is, and while it's not nearly so big, it's just a half cent, there still is a gap lower yesterday in both the weekly and daily charts.
Yeah, I mean, the technicals are not pretty as we look at this. You know, July beans, they were below their March lows and triggered more long-term sell signals. The August beans broke through that 1250 support today and stayed down close below that. And, the July expires in just five sessions. So, it's going to be it's rather a bearish outlook, unfortunately, there. And, as we're looking here, we have to remember that Argentina wasn't hardly selling anything. They were saving it because the physical was worth more than what they thought their currency would devalue. And now seeing that great premium go away for nearby stuff, they're even coming into the market and selling into it, too.
And so the rest of the week looks not good to you?
Well, we would hope we might see some just short covering going into the report. Maybe a little bit of support at $4, but the weather looks ideal. The technicals, as we've just got done saying, don't look too favorable for a rally here. Maybe it's time for a little dead cat bounce, but I think with the numbers that we are estimating they'll be on the WASD report, it's going to be awfully hard to muster much of a rally.
That report is due out later in the week, I think, on Friday, 11 o'clock a.m.?
Friday at 11 o'clock, one of those silly in the middle of the market trading games.
Okay, I think I'll let you go on that note. How about that?
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 15% of the corn crop has silked across the nation. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 18%. 54% of the crop is said to be in good condition compared to 55% last week. 21% excellent compares to 20% for the previous week. Soybeans emerge now stand at 98%. That's 1 percentage point ahead of the rolling five-year average. 24% of the crop has bloomed. 21% is the rolling five-year average for soybeans. 57% of the soybean crop in good condition. 15% excellent compares to 57 and 15% last week, or exactly the same. Now here are updates from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Above average precipitation in Iowa limited field work yet again during the 2.6 days suitable for field work. This was the third week in a row with less than 3 days suitable for fieldwork. Iowa experienced extreme temperatures this week with a high of 89 degrees at Bloomfield and Keokuk on Monday and a low of 45 degrees at Battle Creek and Stanley on Thursday. Temperatures for the week averaged 5.8 degrees below normal. Rain fell mainly on the central one-third of Iowa in two events. The heaviest amount of rain fell Sunday the 29th into Monday evening with up to 41 counties reporting high winds and or hail. Total rain for the week varied from 0.15 inches at Estherville to 7.72 inches near Center Junction. Average precipitation for the week was 2.49 inches, more than double the normal 1.09 inches. Increasing 1 and 2 percentage points from last week, topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated 98 and 92% adequate to surplus, respectively. There were scattered reports of corn silking across Iowa, and 76% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. 21% of the soybean acreage was blooming by the end of the week, 11 days ahead of the previous year but 2 days behind normal. With some soybeans setting pods, 75% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool across all of Illinois, with above average rainfall in northern areas but below average rain in southern areas. Overall, the state average temperature was more than 4 degrees below normal for the week. Northern parts of Illinois had hard, straight-line winds and plenty of rain last week. In some areas, the wind was strong enough to knock down corn plants. The state average rainfall was 1.48 inches last week, more than 1/2 inch above normal. Corn silking advanced from 4% 1 week ago to 28% as of Sunday. That compares to 7% 1 year ago and 30% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop changed very little and is now rated as 4% very poor to poor, 16% fair, and 80% good to excellent. Soybeans are now blooming on 29% of acres in the state, up from 9% 1 week ago. That compares to 8% blooming 1 year ago and 17% normally. The condition of the crop also changed very little and is now rated as 5% in very poor to poor condition, 20% fair, and 75% in good to excellent condition. Wheat harvest advanced to 82% complete, compared to 65% 1 year ago and 79% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 6, 2014. Severe Monday storms in the north brought widespread wind damage to fields, as well as tornado and hail damage in select areas. Average temperatures range from 68 to 75 degrees or 0 to 6 degrees below normal. The lowest recorded temperature for the week was 45 degrees, the highest, 93 degrees. The statewide average temperature for the week was 69.9 degrees, 2.0 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.03 to 2.55 inches, with a state average of 0.48 inches. Despite the Monday storm, crops still grew and farmers still farmed this week. The storm brought relatively light rains in comparison to previous weeks, and the remainder of the week stayed mostly sunny. Some farmers were finally able to get out to spray and side dress any fields that were above water. Corn was 14% silked versus 0% last year and 19% 5-year average. Many producers reported green snap in their corn fields, though corn that had not snapped was said to be recovering well. Soybeans emerged was 96% versus 98% last year and 97% 5-year average. Soybeans blooming was 30% versus 8% last year and 18% 5-year average. Winter wheat coloring was at 97% and was 79% mature. Wheat harvest began in earnest over the holiday weekend for many producers, despite some fields lying flat from Monday's windstorm, with 52% wheat harvested statewide versus last year's 31% and 64% 5-year average. Winter wheat harvested was 83% in south, trailed by 47% in central, and only 20% in north. With the drying window finally available for the majority of the week, second cutting of hay was going strong. Other activities for the week included hauling grain, field scouting, and attending fairs. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 6, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You know, the Illinois crop budgets are available in the management section of the FarmDoc website. That's at farmdoc.illinois.edu. Budgets are given for corn, soybeans, wheat, and double crop soybeans grown in northern, central, and southern Illinois. Central Illinois is further divided into categories for high and low productivity farmland. Gary Schnitke, farm management specialist, is here to explain the potential for farm budgets next year as it's related to the crops for 2015 and compare them to 2013 and 14. You did a quick study to see how this happens, and how does 2015 pan out, Gary?
Yeah, 2015, we prepared budgets, and the 2015 budgets look virtually the same as 2014. And for corn in central Illinois, high productivity land, we're looking at a operator and land return of about $250 per acre. That's down considerably from 2013 when it was $380 and considerably below the average for 2010 through 2013.
What's that number again?
$250.
All right, so for $250, this is the return for the farmer and the landowner. If that happens to be the same, the farmer is the landowner, that's not too terribly bad. But if it's not the same, that probably means a potential loss, given what cash rents have been in a large part of the state.
Yeah, that is where we're at currently. And for this $250 operator and land return, average cash rent for that land would now be about $290 an acre. So we're looking at a $40 loss to the farmer if they rented land for $290 and got a $250 operator and land return. So that's where we're at.
Another way to look at this, if you're the producer, is to say what I make this year is approximately what I will make next year.
That's right. And right now we're using in our budgets 420 for actually both 2014 and 2015. The 420 for 2014 may be a little bit high because right now cash bids are below $4. And futures markets do suggest 420 for next year. But given those levels, we're looking at $250 are about the same for both years.
What should producers be thinking about adjusting for the next crop year in order to make these budgets look better?
Yeah, the lower returns would suggest that farmers should reduce machinery purchases and other capital purchases, which they are doing. But in the end, this does require a reduction in cash rents. If we're looking at $250 return, cash rents have to be below that if we want the farmer to have a positive return.
So really, they probably have already stopped buying machinery and there's just the one item
left. There's one item left, and that is the reduction in cash rents, and that's going to be the item for this 2015 negotiating cash rent negotiating season, which starts fairly soon here in August and this fall.
Fall should be fun. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. You can find his writings on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You can find the Illinois crop budgets on the Farm Doc website. It's slightly different. It's farmdoc.illinois.edu. And you're going to look in the management section. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's check now the agricultural energy markets. On the phone line from Archer Financial Services in Chicago is Stephen Platt. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
I see the crude oil remains in the $100 a barrel area at $103.55 at this hour. How does it compare to ethanol and whether producers of that product can sell their gallons into the marketplace at a profit?
Well, actually, the crude market reached up to as high as 107 here in June. We have seen the market pull back from those levels, dropping about $4 here since. In terms of the ethanol market, it also has pulled back in line with some of the gasoline values, but still holding some pretty good margins in terms of relative to both corn and in terms of production costs. I think in terms of the energy complex itself, is one noteworthy factor is really the lack of volatility in these markets. In terms of the crude oil, some of the volatility has this low volatility is really one of the lowest we've seen in years. And I think that is something that is probably beneficial for the producers in terms of planning. You probably are going to have to get used to the high prices. One good factor that we have seen here recently has been the decline in some of the cracks, particularly the two-oil crack or diesel crack, which means the margins have come in. And I think that could provide the basis for at least some coverage opportunities here if we see a little bit more of a slide in these markets here over the next few weeks. That could provide the basis for producers to lock in maybe some of their harvest supplies.
Hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate it.
Sure enough. Have a great day.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1497, Vasco da Gama left Lisbon with four ships to search for a sea route to India. He was the first European to sail there, and he opened the area to Portuguese trade and colonization. In 1810, Gabriel Gustav Valentin was born. This German-Swiss physiologist was the first to discover the digestive activity of pancreatic juice. In 1831, John Pemberton was born. Pemberton was the pharmacist who invented Coca-Cola in 1885. By the way, at first it was a tonic called French Wine Cola. He later modified the formula, taking out the alcohol and adding vegetable essences. Originally, the syrup was meant to cure headaches. In 1881, the ice cream sundae was invented. Edward Berner of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, put chocolate syrup over a dish of ice cream and served it to a patron at his drugstore. Why chocolate syrup? Because flavored soda water was not allowed to be served on the Sabbath. Thus, the new treat, the ice cream sundae, named after the day of the week it was created. And in 1886, it rained snails in Cornwall, England. By the way, July is one of the most prolific months of the year for raining all sorts of living creatures. The top animals likely to fall from the sky? Fish or frogs? And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest to begin with, please.
Well, in the short term, pretty much a typical July weather forecast coming your way. But you remember the polar vortex that we had during the winter?
Yes.
Well, we're going to get a bit of a summertime version of this one, believe it or not. As late this weekend and early next week, we're going to see the jet stream drives some unseasonably cool air into the upper Midwest, the Great Lakes, and this cool air parts of it will affect the northern and western Corn Belt during the first half of next week. Our outlook for the next 10 days, once we get to this weekend, is for below normal temperatures for just about the whole nation from the Mississippi east.
Well, how much below?
We could be as much as 5 to 10 degrees below normal with our highs. Some cool nights as well, enough to certainly put a dent in growing degree day accumulation for probably about a 4 or 5 day period.
Oh, that'll slow things down. Will we have enough light to keep things going, or does it come with a whole bunch of gray skies?
Well, initially we will. Now, we're expecting that as the front comes in, there will be an initial burst of shower and thunderstorm activity. However, I don't see it being cloudy for several days other than very close to the Great Lakes. So we will have some sunshine, but there is going to be an unseasonably good amount of cool air coming in for the first part of next week, if not all of next week.
And then thereafter, things heat back up?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see things spring back and warm up again. But, you know, the trend so far this summer is that we do have warm-ups. We do have periods of heat, but they just don't last very long. This is something we saw early in the season, and there's no indication to suggest, Todd, that the general trend of that pattern will continue through the rest of July, probably into August as well.
The nice thing about this sort of seesaw pattern is it usually comes with a little rainfall. I take it that will continue to happen.
Yeah, I don't see any indication right now of us going to be real super dry. I would say that more than anything, we should expect normal amounts of precipitation as we look into the next couple weeks.
There are other places around the planet that we need to check in on. Ukraine is one of them. China is the other. Both of them have northern hemisphere crops like corn and wheat. Can you tell me about conditions in both of those places?
Well, Ukraine, most of eastern as well as western Europe are looking at a pattern not unlike what we've got going on here right now, where we're going to be looking at precipitation chances are going to be near normal and temperatures averaging near normal, which all adds up to some favorable growing conditions. China, as we go over into take a look at Eastern Asia, they've got a pretty rainy forecast, especially here in the short term. Only the far northern and northeastern areas of China right now look to be the drier areas. The central, southern, western growing regions look to have adequate precipitation chances here in the next week.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Helps us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.